54 degrees. Support for WILL comes from Subaru of Champaign County, featuring the standard all-wheel drive Subaru Outback with an EPA highway rating of 29 mpg, depending on conditions. More information is available at their showroom on Route 45 in Savoy or at SubaruofChampaign.com. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. It's 1240. After nearly a decade in office as Illinois State University's president, Al Bowman says health reasons have forced him to retire. Bowman's announcement came shortly after he signed a new four-year contract. Illinois Public Radio's Charlie Schlenker talks with Bowman about his decision, effective as soon as a successor is chosen.
This is a job I absolutely love, and Illinois State is, for lack of a better phrase, on a roll. You know, we're making progress during a period when higher ed is facing enormous challenges, and it's just tough to step away from this office. I get a lot of personal satisfaction out of the job. I love the interaction, the hours, the stress, you know, at some point begin to take their toll. And I don't want to keep going down that path to the point where I really injure my health. I'm fine right now. I'm not staring at death's door. But I know if I dial it back a little bit, I'll be able to live a long life.
What is the nature of your medical concern?
Well, I don't want to talk about it publicly. I don't have a terminal illness. I'm not dying of cancer. It's something that can be managed. I'm on medication. I've made some lifestyle changes. As I step away from this job, it'll be easier to continue to do those healthy things that'll hopefully keep me alive for a long, long time.
State support for higher education has all but vanished during your time at the top of ISU. You've started a planning process to come up with $35 million in new revenue or cuts over the next 7 years to make room for the expected transfer of pension costs from the state to the university. Pensions themselves are expected to erode. Changing demographics have already begun to cut into student quality. Although that's still negligible at ISU, it will become an increasing concern nationwide. Do all these factors play a part in the decision, too?
No, actually the challenges associated with the job are what make it appealing. And when I took the job, I used a mountain climbing analogy, and that is the toughest mountains to climb are actually the most satisfying. You know, I think that the strong players in public higher education will be able to withstand the enormous challenges that face our enterprise. And I think Illinois State clearly is poised to continue its upward momentum.
It won't be easy to manage through those challenges. Will the problem set call for a different kind of leader or administrator than you've been?
No, actually, I don't think so. I think that having a president who has an academic background is very, very important. In my case, being familiar with the institution and its culture and traditions was a real asset for me. And I also think finding a leader who buys into what Illinois State is trying to do. We've had leaders in the past, and of course this happens at institutions all over the country, where a new leader comes in and tries to point the institution in a completely different direction. We're on a good path, and we need a leader who is interested in helping us continue this good progress.
So if institutional knowledge is important, should the committee, as it becomes constituted, consider an internal candidate?
Absolutely. I think it should consider both internal and external candidates. And I think what typically happens is that there's a bias against internal candidates. In my own situation, as I came in as a presidential candidate without prior executive experience, there are a number of people who rightly asked, does this guy have the experience that it takes to lead a large, complex institution? You know, clearly I've had some success, and I think that demonstrates that it's really the person, not the experience, that search committees ought to be looking at. Does that candidate bring to the table a set of skills and a style that's right for this job?
How would you define your legacy?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about that. The thing that I'm most proud of is Illinois State's emergence as a national leader. We are in a place now with a level of national prominence that really is like nothing we've ever seen. Our student profile is an indication that we're one of the most selective public universities in the state, one of the two most selective. The change in our footprint brings me enormous personal satisfaction. The new construction, the construction plans that we have on the table, I think we are really putting into place a package that will make this institution attractive for generations to come.
You said in your message to campus that you want to remain involved in the life of ISU. How will you do that?
In as many ways as Illinois State would like to have me. I plan to teach in the fall, and I plan to have an office back in my old department in Fairchild Hall. I plan to be a regular presence at arts and sporting events. ISU is really the center of both my personal and professional life, and for Linda and I, that will not change.
Illinois State University President Al Bowman, he announced yesterday that he will retire. He spoke with Illinois Public Radio's Charlie Schlenker. Bowman has asked the chair of the university's Board of Trustees to convene a special meeting to search for a successor. Rupert Murdoch's News Corp is still reeling from the phone hacking scandal that forced the closure of one of the company's UK tabloids and has mired it in government and police investigations. The company has announced several changes that it hopes will contain the damage. NPR's David Folkenflik reports.
We now know, among other specifics, the names of the two companies. The smaller publishing side will continue with the historic title of News Corp. The newer one, with such successful properties as Fox News, Fox TV, FX, Fox Sports, and Fox Studios, will understandably be known as Fox Group. Back in October, Murdoch explained his thinking at a shareholder meeting.
As we do, it will also mean unlocking more value for our shareholders. And as we head into this future, the company you know will be replaced by two dynamic new ones with separate names and different missions.
Unlocking value, meaning that the price of Fox Group's shares would spike up. News Corp stocks have always experienced what's called the Murdoch discount, a bit depressed by the drag in profits from the lagging newspaper division. Indeed, Murdoch did announce yesterday that he would shutter The Daily, a digital tablet-only news outlet that was less than 2 years old. Though he called it a bold experiment, Murdoch said it wasn't making enough money to continue. As Murdoch acknowledged, the split also occurs against the backdrop of the phone hacking and corruption scandal that engulfed the company's British papers, with a cost of hundreds of millions of dollars and rising.
We've acknowledged the serious wrongdoing that occurred at some of our publications in the United Kingdom. As a result, we've had to work hard to make amends, very hard. But just as important, we seized the moment as an opportunity.
And that leads to a second important rationale for Murdoch's decision, according to tech consultant and former newspaper executive Alan Mutter.
The newspaper side of the business is not nearly as beloved by many of the people at News Corp as they are by Murdoch. So one of the things he's trying to do, is sort of like Superman's father, is put the newspapers in an escape pod to get them away from planet Krypton.
You will travel far, my little Kal-El.
That, of course, was Marlon Brando as Superman's dad, Jor-El. Back to consultant Alan Mutter on Murdoch.
Someday he may not be there to save them from corporate officers who want to reduce publication or shut down titles.
But for now, there's more bounce in Murdoch's step. And privately, his aides have shown some interest in acquiring the Los Angeles Times. In the meantime, The Daily's top editor, Jesse Angelo, will become publisher of The New York Post, the company's pugilistic, conservative, money-losing tabloid. The Wall Street Journal's top editor, Robert Thompson, will become the CEO of the new News Corp. He'll be replaced by his deputy, Jerry Baker. Baker is a Brit and a former conservative columnist for Murdoch's Times of London. As former Journal senior editor Bill Gruskin said, staffers had feared what would ensue when Murdoch bought the paper 5 years ago.
Well, I think some of the initial concerns about the values of the Journal and that it would turn into a business version of the New York Post have proven to be unfounded.
The Journal has broadened into more straight national and international news at the expense, Gruskin and some other former Journal staffers say, of the paper's deeper dives on corporate and financial affairs. Murdoch will remain chairman of the publishing company and chairman and CEO of the new Fox Group. Amid much change, that stays the same. David Folkenflik, NPR News, New York.
For more protection against bad weather hitting your crops, Henrichs Insurance Services offers Total Weather Insurance, a full-season program designed to pay out automatically when bad weather hits. More information is available from Luke Henricks at Henricks Insurance Services at 815-844-6729 or 815-383-6209.
It's the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 4th of December, 2012. It's the birthday of Rilke, Rainer Maria Rilke, born in Prague, 1875. His mother, the year before he was born, had given birth to a girl who died after a week, and she dressed her little boy in dresses and braided his hair and treated him like a girl. He grew up to become a poet and supported himself by seducing a series of wealthy noble women, one of whom lent him her castle, the Castle Duino, near Trieste, a medieval castle, where during the winter of 1912, alone in the castle, Rilke said he heard the voice of an angel speaking to him about the meaning of life. He wrote a cycle of 10 long poems that he called the Duino Elegies. It was the great masterpiece of his lifetime. It's the birthday of the philosopher Thomas Carlyle, born in Ecclefechan, Scotland, in 1795, author of A History of the French Revolution, which Dickens used as his primary reference when he was writing A Tale of Two Cities. It was on this date, 1867, Oliver Kelly founded The Grange, the Order of the Patrons of Husbandry, the oldest agricultural society in the country. It represented farmers in their disputes with the railroads and established free rural mail delivery. And it's the birthday of Cornell Woolrich, born in New York City, 1903, started out writing novels inspired by the work of F. Scott Fitzgerald, then wrote detective novels, which became movies, The Bride Wore Black and Night Has a Thousand Eyes. Here's a poem for today by Alden Nowlin, entitled Great Things Have Happened. We were talking about the great things that have happened in our lifetimes, and I said, oh, I suppose the moon landing was the greatest thing that has happened in my time. But of course, we were all lying. The truth is, the moon landing didn't mean one-tenth as much to me as one night in 1963, when we lived in a three-room flat in what once had been the mansion of some Victorian